surprise, not one, not two, but three people in the studio with us today. It is an exciting day. I know there's somebody who's even more excited than me to have Joshua Kessler with us. Don't look like that. You know, this is the one interview. You know, I think even if we had Nathaniel Bassey, she'd say, Nathaniel, you can wait. Let's just get Joshua in first. So we're really excited to have Joshua Kessler with us. Longtime friend, known him for many, many years. He is a musician. He's a worship leader. He's a minister of the gospel. And he's here with us today on What's On Your Mind, the special edition shows, right? Joshua, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. I want to say a pleasant good evening to you both. It's good to be here. Thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to our conversation this evening. Yeah.
And of course, and on the other side of the screen, we have the real deal Olive, who has decided to come out of her weeks. How many weeks have you got off? Like about 7 or 8
weeks.
Do we
need to mention numbers?
Yes, we do need to mention numbers.
We don't need to. Bonjour, bonsoir, guten Tag to everybody.
Are you going to keep him with the international greetings then when we have our guests?
Oh, so Josh, let me let you in. Every show, I try to come up with an international greeting.
And
okay. I'm trying because so that when I do meet, because I find greetings are a very good conversation opener. So when I meet people, I tend to ask them, how do you say hello in your language? So on the show, we generally just throw international greetings.
Okay, nice.
Do you know any international greetings, Josh, outside the normal ones?
Why are you going to put me on this one? Ask me such a question. Well, my background is Jamaican, and normally maybe what a Jamaican person will say is like Wagwan, which means how are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Wagwan.
There you go, Wagwan.
That's a good one. What should be our response?
Your response should be, all is well, all is good. Or you could say, everything good, everything nice.
Yeah, everything good, everything nice.
Nice.
I was going to think of something like everything irie, but that might get us into a
bit of a... That's it. You know the thing.
Hey, don't joke, you know, Brixton, brawn and bread, you know.
Oh, come on, man. Brixton.
Anyway, let's not even go down there, otherwise it's all going to start falling apart from there, right? But no, Josh, listen, thank you for, you know, taking the time out to be with us today. We really do appreciate it. You know, amongst many other things, well, I think one of the new titles that you're going to be a presenter, aren't you, on UGN Jams very, very soon. So there's a new show coming out with that as well. So, you know, a podcaster, radio presenter, many, many things. But, you know, obviously it's the music that, well, you know, I first got introduced to you through your worship, really. I think that was, you know, back in the days at Rock City Church, you know, used to lead worship. And it was always good because we always knew that we were going to get a reggae vibe. So that was brilliant. And it wasn't the traditional kind of, you know, let's do a couple of hymns. It really was. You'd be dancing, you'd be going in, you'd be doing everything, you know, to just create that experience, you know. And I do miss that, actually, saying that. Everything seems to be a little bit more pedestrian nowadays. But, you know, tell us a bit about your musical background. How did you start off?
Well, I think it was back in 2006, when I was at University London School of Theology. During that period and during that time, when I was studying, I also had was connected to, well, a good friend of mine at the time, by the name of Sean Brown. He had a studio. And what I would do, I would go to his studio and mess about, just sing, etc. And funny enough is that the genre of, at the time, in terms of that I would do would be, it was actually R&B gospel. It wasn't reggae.
Oh.
It was R&B gospel. Ooh. Yeah, it was R&B gospel, because he was a producer, he was a writer. So he would get me to come in and to do certain things for him. And then I think it was one day he decided to build a reggae beat. I remember the song, it was Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. And as I started to minister the song, it was as if like immediately, it was as if like the Lord said to me, this is the genre and the path that I want you to take. There was just this connection. And that's how things kind of like started. Things started to progress from there. And then we kind of moved away from the R&B sound to the reggae sound. Some people may know, because I believe I have shared this before, is that I used to, prior to being a Christian, I used to be in a sound system when I was in the world. And I was considered one of the singers in the sound. And I used to always sing covers on they would call it the rhythm or the version of the reggae of a reggae production, reggae beat, so to speak. So I think it just kind of like just transitioned. So when I became a Christian, it just transitioned from that into me doing reggae. But as I said, when I started, it wasn't reggae. It was contemporary R&B gospel. But yeah, the transition happened, and then since then, it just hasn't stopped.
I had no idea you were in a sound system.
Yeah.
See, people
don't. Yeah, sound system.
Some people are not going to connect with that vibe and know what we're talking about, you know. But I know exactly what you mean. You know, you come on and with all the reggae vibes going on, and then they now put you on to just sing over the version of that track, you know, and that'll be, everybody will go wild.
I used to be in two sound systems. I was in a sound system in from South London called Earthquake, and then Earthquake. Yeah.
Yes, man.
They are the guys from that sound system. I grew up with some of them in terms of playing steel band music, and that was my connection with the family. They're based in South London, as I just recently said. And then there was another sound that I was also connected to in North London called Black Sapphire.
I know them too.
So I used to travel over to, where was it? I think it was Frimsby Park. They used to get the name that they gave me. They used to call me Desi Boots because I used to always wear fancy shoes. So that was the name that they gave me. That was my somewhat sound name, Desi Boots.
Where does the Desi come from? Is your name Desmond? Oh,
my Christian name is actually Desmond.
Okay, all right, I'm with you. Okay, I mean, you got to start from somewhere. And you know, I think in all fairness, a lot of time people think, you know, you're not building your craft somewhere, and God is taking the opportunity to build your craft wherever you may be. And then when it's time for it to shine, man, he just kind of like pulls you out and brings you into this really great place. But
I think at the time as well, I think the reason why we kind of took the route in terms of doing R&B gospel, because I don't think reggae gospel was something that was really accepted in church circles. And, you know, it was considered to be music of the devil, and obviously the church.
It's true. It's true.
And the church that I grew up in, which was a Baptist church, you know, is very traditional hymns, and so that was the reasons why we kind of started on that path. Until I started to do the reggae thing. And I've had my challenges along the way, but I stuck to what I believe the Lord had put in my spirit to do. And it's been a great journey. It's been a great journey. So yeah.
Okay. Darling, have you got a question you'd like to ask?
Yes, I mean, I like the fact that you touched on the challenges. So tell us a bit of what role, I mean, in this day and age that we're in, not every gospel singer is called to be a minister. You first are a worship leader, and for me, that's where the ministry begins. And then the fact that you now start doing all the other bits are just extensions of it. How does your calling and your faith, how does it influence you now?
How does it influence me now? You know, the Bible tells us that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness, and everything that we need shall be added unto us. And I think it's absolutely important. You know, as you said, there are many individuals who may have the title as it relates to gospel artists, but I don't see myself as a gospel artist. I see myself as a minister of the gospel. My intentions, my endeavor is always to minister with the aim to reach souls for Christ. And I think that's absolutely important. I believe that we have been called. You know, the Bible talks about the Great Commission, and I believe that our responsibility is to win souls for Christ. And this is what I seek to do through the medium of reggae gospel music. I know, you know, for some people, it's not everybody's taste, but I believe that I believe that we all, people have different palates, they have different tastes, and let's say, for example, I can reach, I use the medium of reggae gospel music to do just that. I remember coming into faith, coming in terms of my background, my parents are Jamaican, so I would always hear Jamaican music being played, often on a Friday night. So I remember when I came into faith, as much as I do love the traditional hymns and contemporary gospel music, there were times when I kind of struggled because I couldn't relate sometimes to some of the music that was being offered. And it was only until I kind of like connected with some of my brothers and sisters from different parts of the vineyard, and they began to introduce me to R&B gospel. They began to introduce me to reggae gospel, which there wasn't much, but that's what kind of helped me to, what would I say, on my journey of faith, because obviously coming from a background where you listen to R&B gospel, you know, I was a raver. So R&B, reggae, soul, you know, that was the type of music that I used to listen to when I was in the world. So, you know, so coming into doing reggae gospel for me was just like, it helped me. It helped me along my journey. It helped me along my faith. And as I said, I know that it's the ministry that the Lord has given to me through the medium of reggae gospel has reached so many people. People's lives have been touched. People's lives have been transformed based on the testimony, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I hope I've kind of answered your question. My faith in God plays a massive role. I will say that, and I want to be as transparent as possible and honest as possible. There are many people who have the title gospel artists, but they don't minister. You know, we're singing songs, but we're not ministering. We're not really, it's like it's more of a performance, you know, and I think we need to really ask ourselves the questions, why are we doing this? What is the purpose? What is the aim? You know, God has given us these gifts, these talents, and we are just mere stewards of what he has given unto us. And it's important that we put ourselves aside and that we use what God has given to us, as I said, to win souls for Christ. We are fishers of men. It's not about performance for me. It's about ministry, and that is absolutely important. So even when I write my songs, I write my songs with that aim, with that intention. I'm like, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. You know, what do you want me to say to your people through this particular song? You know, and that's how I approach when it comes to writing. Anyway, let me stop because I'll go for it.
You know, what happens in an interview is, right, when you say things, we now start to make mental notes of the next set of questions. Unfortunately, due to the amount of great stuff you said, I had about 10 different things rolling around in my head. And then you said something, oh, that's even better. And I kind of got lost along the way, not in a bad way, but, you know, there's just so many things that you said. And I just want to reflect a little bit on a couple of bits. That thing of when... Because I identify with your journey. When I first got saved, I remember going to someone and saying, look here, this is how this story is going to go. If you want me to remain in this body of Christ, I need some music I can listen to. Because this stuff that you guys are listening to, it don't work at all for me. And I was really, really fortunate, you know, got a load of kind of like gospel R&B, because I was really into the R&B side of things. And that really helped. It really did help for me to know that music is such a powerful thing, right? It's such a powerful puller. And, you know, without having that, I would have found myself maybe sneaking back, you know, back to the club and listening to a couple of songs that I like or whatever. But, you know, so it's such a powerful thing. If there's anybody else that's out there as well, I think things have changed a little bit now. There's such a wide range of music. You can have, you know, from gospel grime to hip hop to soca to R&B to reggae to
Afro beats,
you know, the list goes on and on and on. So, you know, we're spoilt for choice. But again, I think you just highlighted on how important that is. You touched a bit about your songwriting process as well. Tell us a bit about how that works when you're formulating a new song.
Well, for me, what I tend to do, I've worked with some great producers. I'm currently working with Three Chronicles Studios, Kaziah Job and Stuart Green, Hammond and Harmony. Yeah. And what tends to happen, sometimes the Lord will just drop a melody in my spirit, and then I will hear the music in my head. So then I will more or less record everything on my phone, and the parts... in terms of the instrumental, the different sounds will come into my head. So everything will be recorded in my phone. In terms of the lyrical content, as I said, I rely on the Holy Spirit to really guide the process, because I think that's absolutely important. It's not about what I want to say. It's like, God, what do you want to say to your people through this song? So once I kind of like got some type of idea, I will have a conversation with the producers. I will get them to do a quick demo, and then from that, the song will somewhat be created. That's the process. That's the process that I take. It has to be spirit led. And one of the most important things, people need to understand that this song is about Christ, because we hear a lot of songs these days, but we don't know if the person is talking about Christ.
Come on now.
There's no mention of Christ.
Come on now.
I remember when I was at university and I had this great lecturer. I can't remember his surname. I remember his first name by the name of Chris. But and he was the lecturer that used to teach us about worship and theology. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the subjects that we discussed, and what we learned about was the whole idea of writing songs. And one of the things that he used to find frustrating was that sometimes, you know, we hear these songs, we label them as Christian songs, but there's no mention of Jesus, there's no mention of God, there's no mention of the Holy Spirit, and it's like, well, who are we talking about? And he went on to say, like, this song could be interpreted in so many different ways, where you could be talking about your cat, you could be talking about your dog. And he was saying that we have to be intentional and our message has to be clear when we're writing our songs.
Yeah.
You know, especially if we're saying that we're Christian, we're ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be clear in what we're saying to people. And that's one of the things that I hold dear to. If I don't mention God, I mention Jesus. If I don't mention Jesus, I'm mentioning the Holy Spirit. My people will know that I'm a believer of Jesus Christ through the medium of that particular song.
And I think that's important. Yeah, I think there's a place for some of those other songs. You know, it's not that, but I think in particular, when you're calling people, because, you know, we have this debate, don't we, darling? We say when you're calling people to worship and you're ministering, you know, then it's, you know, we you know, those are the things that should really be, you know, in place. It's true, you might come out and, you know, maybe it's I'm trying to think of, like a Shawn Mendes kind of thing, you know, wave your hand in the air. Da, 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 da. There's a time and a place for that, you know, and there's nothing wrong with you, you know, having fun and enjoying yourself. And there's also a time where it gets to the bit where you're, as you quite rightly said, where it's really time to minister, where you know, it's all focus needs to be on Jesus, right?
Definitely. Most definitely.
All right, Charlie, well, got a question?
I think the thing there is to, and I'm glad that you've differentiated yourself, it's to define yourself. You said there's a place for it. That's fine. The motivational singers will have people who want to listen to the nondescript songs. So there is a place for them. And because you've defined yourself, and that's what I really like most. And I think, and that's sometimes, I think that's the expectation we have of gospel singers. We want them to be definitive, identify who you stand for and where you pitch your tent. And if you want to be a motivational singer, that's okay. There's nothing wrong in it. But what I don't appreciate is that dipping in and out. And so if you've come for, if you've come, say, for instance, you've been invited to a church service, it's a church service. So I'm expecting worship. I'm not expecting a motivational song. I can get a motivational song from Heart FM. I can get a motivational song from my Jazz FM. I can be motivated by Louis Armstrong. But if I've come, so that's where I struggle with some of those things. And I'm very clear in how I pick my choice artist. So, and that's for me, for people like you who know where they've pitched that tent. I like that.
Yes.
Let me move you a bit more personal. We've talked about ministry. We cannot have you today and not what many of you want to, this is directed to our listeners as well. Joshua is sitting, so many of you don't know his mobility situation. So Joshua, tell us about a life-changing personal incident that has also challenged your faith.
Yes. Well, back in January 2020, I was involved in a road traffic accident that left me paralyzed. And that was a shock to the system. Absolutely. That traumatized me. Because I've gone from, you know, doing the work of the Lord, I'm independent, doing everything for myself, and now everything has to be done for me. And it was a very, very challenging time. There were periods where I was up. There were periods when I was up and I was down, you know, really trying to stay positive and speak life. And but there were times when, you know, as you said, I would grapple with God and say, "Now, God, why has this happened to me? Why have you allowed this to happen to me?" And the interesting thing, because I really don't want to go too much into detail because there's a lot to the story. But I remember I was actually home one day and I just broke down crying. I was on my own and I broke down crying and I was like, "Lord, why did this happen?" And I think after that, I believe as the weeks progressed, the Lord began to show me what had actually happened and what was the root of all of what I was more or less, what I had experienced. And he kind of like took me on a journey. It was as if like I was watching my life on a flat screen TV. Wow. Every night I was having visions and dreams of my past journey to where I am now. And the Lord literally showed me what had actually happened. And as I said, without going into too much detail, it was an attack from the enemy. And I believe I felt that having that information gave me what would I say? It did give me strength, but at the same time as well, I was quite saddened by what was revealed to me, because I, you know, being around people who I thought were my friends, I didn't imagine or think that they would go to certain lengths to try and take me out, so to speak. But by the grace of God, you know, the Bible says that no weapon, the weapons were formed, but the weapons didn't prosper.
Prosper. Amen.
The weapons did not prosper. And it's been, it is, as I said, it's been a journey. I've gone from being bedridden. Well, now I'm walking around. Near enough, by the grace of God, I'm nearly back to normal. And I give God thanks. And God has told me that he's going to heal me. He has told me that. And I stand on his word, you know, because his word does not return unto us void. It will accomplish that which he has sent it forth to do. But it was a really, really dark period. I give God thanks for my immediate family, who were there, and who's still there, for me. And I think one of the interesting things as well that I've also discovered, I discovered who my friends were. I discovered who people really are. Because you know you have this, you know, when I was up and about and I was doing the things that I believe the Lord was had commissioned me to do, everybody was there, everybody seemed to be supportive, everybody was encouraging. But then when I had this experience, it was as if like I was on my own. No phone calls. There was one or two people who did stay in my corner, but what I was expecting, and I have to say this, from the body of Christ, I didn't get the support that I felt that I deserved. And I'm not one to, I'm not, I don't deem myself to be somebody who is insecure or attention seeking, but I was expecting some type of support and it wasn't there. And that was an eye-opener for me. And that really pushed me into a place where I really had to look unto him, the author and finisher of my faith, in order for me to get through this challenge or this dark period that I was going through. And God has just been great. He has been awesome. And I will just say this, is that within, you know, what the Lord had shown me, the Lord said to me that vengeance is mine, I'm going to repay. And the Lord told me what he was going to do. He showed me what he was going to do to the enemy. And I've lived to see what he has done. And even to the point where when I started to see certain things begin to manifest, I'm like, Lord, mercy, mercy, please, please, please. I'm like, Lord, have mercy on them. Don't. But certain things has transpired, certain things have happened. And this is what we need to understand. Do not mess around with God's children. You know, I think sometimes when people seem to feel that they're coming up against you, they're really coming up against God. Yes. You know?
True. True.
And no one can win a battle against God. You can come with your many gods. You can come with whatever you want to come with. But you can't. We just do not have the ability to challenge or to stand against God. And as I said, God has been great. God has been amazing. He's been awesome. Even through my pain, you know, God gave me a song, Rock I Stand. That was in 2021. I wrote that song when I was actually, well, I started to write that song in the latter part of 2019. And for some unknown reason, the song I couldn't complete the song, so I just put the song down. Because as I said, I like to be led by the spirit. I don't like to force things. So I just put it down. And it was when I had the accident and when I was in the hospital in January 2020, that's when I concluded the song on my sick bed. And thanks be to God, that song became like an anthem, Rock I Stand, you know, Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. You know, it was, and thankfully I got an award for it. People were blessed by the song. You know, so God birthed that. And that was something great that came about as a result of my accident. And God is still doing wonders. He's still doing great stuff. So yeah.
There are many other songs that you got awards for. One of my favorite ones is
Here We
Oasis.
Go. That yeah. was so, the one. I got I think I must have been playing it right, and then she who's singing that? Who's all that song? That song. I said, Joshua Kessler. So by then she hadn't met you, all right? So everything was fine. Is it? And then I think it's GX Awards. You yes. were in the same building as her. And your life has never been the same. That's him. That's all. I said, yeah, that's Joshua Kessler. Oh my God. You know. And that was it. That was it. That was it. Beautiful. A great cover, by the way. Beautifully done.
I know, because you know something, because when, as I said, I'm working with Keziah Jobe and Stuart Green, and when Keziah approached me with the song, with the idea, I was like, I'm not too sure, because that is a like an anthem. It's a great song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is a big song. But then when she done the production, and when I heard the production, I was like, okay, this is sounding kind of lit, kind of really, really, really good. So and then I just said to myself, okay, let's see how this will go. And the Holy Spirit just gave me the download, and I just kind of like just made it into my own. And then as well, I drew from my experience, from what I was going through, and I sang from that place, you know, that even in the wilderness, God will make a way.
Yes,
you know, He will definitely make a way, and that's what He has done for me. And I know that so many people love that song. They love the version of the song. And yeah, to God be the glory, man, for the great things He had done. So big up yourself, Keziah Jobe and Stuart Green, because I would have never even imagine or think to myself, okay, let me do this. Because you know there's some songs you just don't touch. Especially that one, right? Listen, and the interesting thing is that I had the opportunity of actually meeting Helen Baymer. I think when did I meet her? I believe it was in when I was a part of another ministry. The leader of the church invited her because we had a church conference, and she invited Helen Baylor, and Helen Baylor was there, and that was the song that she asked, one of the songs she asked her to minister. So yeah. I just thought it was so ironic that I had the opportunity of actually meeting this wonderful lady who penned this great song. And the interesting thing, this particular song, I didn't even know it. Back in the days when I used to go raving, they used to play this song in the parties.
All the time.
I didn't even know it was a gospel song.
I had no idea it was a gospel song. You took the words right out of my mouth, Josh. No idea. It would come on and then... All you know, and I listened to this, and I tell you what, you know, I've got to say this because I have my mind. So, and you listen to a song because I wanted to know the words, right?
That's
and
right.
You know, I'm thinking the lyrics of this song seem a little bit off because it's not about girl meets boy, and you know, you know we're having love in an oasis and wherever else it would be. And so I thought, okay, well, I know the words, and I'm telling you, it was maybe a couple years ago. I started playing it on the station, and at the end, she says, "Lord Jesus," towards the end of the song, you know, and I went, "Oh, so Jesus is in there." You know, like. I don't know if that would have made a difference to me liking the song or not back then, but I just thought, you know, it was just, yeah.
But I think the interesting thing, in the raves, I didn't even hear Lord Jesus.
I didn't, neither did I.
So far removed.
Neither did I.
Because it was such a good song, they play it right to the end. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Wheel It Up a couple of times, but they will play it right to the end. You know, but I've never ever heard Lord Jesus, the bit towards the end where she says and makes it really clear, a bit like what you're saying, right? After all of that, in case you're in doubt, it's a Jesus song, but you know, back then, you know, it wasn't Jesus that we were looking for, so hey. we thank God we found him, or he found us anyway, whichever way you want to look.
That's right.
You mentioned your awards as well, Josh. You know, you've won many. I mean, we were at the Birmingham
Step Forward.
It wasn't Step Forward, it was GX. Annette B's GX Awards. GX Awards, and you know, we saw you, you know, get up there and you bagged an award there. Tell us a bit about that journey with the awards. You remember your first award, and what does it feel like, you know, to be honored by you?
I think my first award was with GX Awards when Annette B had her first award ceremony in London at the Holiday Inn in Russell Square.
Okay.
And I can't remember the year. Please forgive me. But I received two awards. One, I believe, was for Reggae Artist of the Year, and the other one was for Best Newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think after that, the next award that I received was from Step Forward for the song Rock I Stand in 2021. And then after that, I received another award from GX again, which was for Reggae Artist of the Year again. And then I Step Forward Awards, which happened at the latter part of last year, in November, I received an award. I'd done a song with Shadrach featuring Joshua Kessler, God We Love.
Yes.
I was shocked. I was like, oh my God.
That's on the God We Love rhythm, right? Cleansing Light. Yeah, big up.
So I was absolutely surprised when I actually received that award, because I wasn't expecting it, because there's so many great artists that was in that category.
Yeah.
It's a very strong category, you know. So I was surprised. It was only until when White was starting speaking, and he started saying, "This young man has experienced adversity." I was like, "Oh God,
it's me."
He's experienced adversity. I thought, "Oh my days!" I was so surprised, because I wasn't expecting. And I've also been nominated for other awards. I think right now, I've actually been nominated for Merlin Awards in Bahamas for the song Oasis.
Mm.
And I'm also in another category. So one's for best vocal, and one is for the song Oasis itself. So by the grace of God, hopefully, I will be blessed with that award. But, you know, just to be nominated is an honor.
Yeah,
so
it's a big thing. It's a big thing.
And I also want to say as well, I don't know if you remember, I was also the first UK reggae gospel artist to appear on Songs of Praise. That was when I don't know if you remember, there was when Songs of Praise was at RUAC. And the interesting thing, when they came to RUAC, I was the one that was kind of, well, myself amongst people like Nikki Brown were helping the team to facilitate the setup, et cetera, in terms of preparing the church for them to film. And I can't remember the name of the gentleman, but he was a part of the Songs of Praise team. And he said something like, "Oh, we're looking for, we're looking for this guy called Joshua Kessler you know, we want to do, and I was thinking to myself, that's me. That's me kind of thing. So I don't know if it was between Nicky Brown or Bishop Francis that done the setup, but thanks be to God, you know, the opportunity presented itself. And I was interviewed by, David Grant.
Yep.
And I appeared on Songs of Praise on two occasions. So thanks be to God, that was as a result of, you know, Nikki and Bishop Francis and the rest of the church that allowed that to happen. So truly grateful for that. You know, I mean, the first UK reggae gospel to actually appear, because you know, Songs of Praise is a very traditional,
very traditional, yeah.
Very traditional show. So for them to have reggae on there was just like,
just know, groundbreaking.
So I'm truly thankful and truly grateful that opportunity presented itself. So yeah, God has been great. He's been great. Absolutely.
Thank you, Josh. Tell us how people can connect with you. You know, obviously outside what you're going to do with UGN Jams, how can people reach out and connect with you directly?
Well, people can connect with me on Facebook as Joshua Kessler. I'm also on Instagram as Minister Joshua Kessler, I believe. I'm also on Twitter. I've just recently joined Twitter, Joshua Kessler. And did I just say Twitter? TikTok.
Yes,
sorry.
TikTok.
I'm on TikTok.
Yeah, on TikTok.
I've just recently joined TikTok, sorry. I'm also on Twitter. I don't really use Twitter that much. But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And I'm also going to be creating a new, and also via YouTube, Joshua Kessler. I have my own YouTube channel. I'm all social media platforms. So just type in my name and you should be able to find me. I also have a website. I also have a website. So if you want to go and look at my website, you can type in www.joshuakesslermusic.com. And if you want to purchase my music, you can just type in my name and I'm on all, my music is available on all digital download platforms. So yeah.
Excellent, man. Well, we will flash up all those details as well, so people can definitely make sure that they connect with you. But Joshua, it's been an absolute pleasure. We are going to love you and leave you. Have a great rest of the day as well. And thank you so much for being a guest on What's On Your Mind.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you so much, Oli, for the opportunity. I really, really appreciate it. It's been an absolute blessing.
It's been awesome, man. I've got a feeling she's going to tell me we need to get you back because we need to dig a little deeper.
you can definitely.
All right, thanks so much indeed. All right, cheers.
Bye. God bless you guys.
Bless you guys. Take care. Bye.